Good morning, beloved. It is great to see you again. You know, when I had this mask on, took it off, and I think Pat was shocked because she said, "When did you?" And I was thinking, well, I've had it for a while. And then I was thinking that, well, she doesn't have, she's not available to see us Wednesday night because her son hasn't gotten her a laptop yet. Where is he? I can't even rake him over the coal. He's not here. He's back there in the back. Can you hear me, Ed? Get your mother a laptop. The other thing, I was wondering, Bill, you still here? Where are you, Bill? Oh, you are still. Is there a translation for Bob Jones?
Yes, there is.
There is. Okay. that was good. And congratulations, Caleb. No matter what he says, I think it's a great thing. all right. Well, we started this morning talking about a call for husbands to love their wives, and we kind of went through a few things. Went back to Genesis to look and see that men and women are in fact different, created differently, different purposes. And several of you have come up to me already and told me that I should stop preaching to you in particular. I'm sorry about that. No, I'm not. Nothing's happened yet. So let's pick it up. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, truly we thank you that we can come together as the body of Christ and celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can fellowship together and love one another. And we can laugh and we can have joy together. And Father, that's so precious. Lord, this is a pretty large subject, pretty deep subject, husbands loving their wives like Christ loves the church. Father, I pray that you would give us understanding of these things so that we can truly love our wives better, that we can love one another better, so that we can bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for all that you do. And Lord God, I just pray if there's anything that I say here that may be inaccurate, Lord, that you would remove that from the heart and mind, and that only your words would stay. So Father, we just give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so who may or may not have been in pain, I still think he was, but just me. But I truly believe that he bore a scar. Something told Adam that this keeps going on and off. Is it me or
CFCC?
CFCC. Anyway, so now to Adam. And we realize that when Adam first saw Eve, she was nothing like any of the other creatures that God had made. Remember, God made all these creatures, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. Well, now he brings another creature. It's not an animal. And Adam saw someone who was just like him, but different, extremely different. I'm sure Adam felt that she was beautiful, delicate, and graceful. And because the fall had not happened yet, Adam did not see her as a sexual object. Well, we know that they were both naked, but he didn't see her that way. He saw her as his equal, someone which he could enjoy the wonders of God's creation. Now again, I'm going to need you to allow me a little holy imagination here. But can you picture Adam as he walks up to Eve, seeing her for the first time? Don't know what his expressions were or his emotions, but she was something fantastic. Somebody who looked like him. Somebody that for some reason, part of him is missing. And he has this scar and he sees her and he puts two and two together. And he walks up to Eve. And he takes her by the hand. And he looks up to God and says, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Can you picture something like that? And then maybe Adam just took her by the hand and said, "Come with me. And I got to show you this right here. It's called a peach. You'll love it. Take a bite." Oh, and over here, call this a lion. He's great. He won't hurt you. And we got a giraffe over here. This tree over here, no, don't even touch that tree. And he went around creation and they had, I don't know, just wonderful time being together and him sharing this knowledge with Eve, his wife. So just by the sheer fact of how Adam and Eve were made, we see that there is a distinction between a man and a woman. So please don't listen to the ridiculous ideology of the world saying that there is no difference between men and women. Isn't it silly that we have to even address this? Men and women are different. We have different bodies. We have different roles, different talents, different abilities, different personalities, different likes and dislikes, etc., etc., etc. But in all our differences, we complement each other. We help each other, or we should help each other, to be the best versions of ourselves, to help one another love and serve our mighty God. But in order to help each other be the best version of ourselves, we must have a good understanding of each other. A lot of what I'm going to talk about today is in general terms, or your situation specifically, so don't shoot the messenger. I have lived with four women in my house. I heard that. And they all do things a little different. One size does not fit all. But I believe that if we as men take it will help to make the lives of those we love better. So gentlemen, buckle your seats. Belts. Seat belts. Yeah. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor or value to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Understanding. I think as men, we should tattoo this verse backwards across our foreheads so that when we look into the mirror, we can be reminded of what God expects from us. First of all, as men, we need to understand that we do not think the same as our wives. That does not mean that her way of thinking is better than yours or vice versa. But God has given us the ability to look at situations differently. As men, we should view this as a positive, not a negative. We as men need to understand that we do not always solve problems the same way as our wives. Is that a shocker to anybody? Okay. Just because we are the authority in the home, it does not mean that our wives' opinions about problem solving, or anything else for that matter, are not worth listening to. As a matter of fact, we would do well to listen to our wives, just as Abraham was told by God to listen to Sarah concerning Ishmael and Hagar. Read that again. As a matter of fact, we would do well to listen. I prepared this for you, because I know we're visual. Gentlemen, can you see this? Can anybody see what that says? You're going to where? Pensacola. Can you read that from Pensacola? This is something that we as men find difficult, but we need to do that. Listen. So let's look at that passage quickly in Genesis 21, 8 through 13, where Abraham is talking to Sarah, or Sarah is talking to him. Genesis 21, 8 through 13. So the child, Isaac, grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on that same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, you know that to be Ishmael, the Egyptian, whom she bore to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, and this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very disappointing or displeasing in Abraham's sight, because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her. Listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. We should covet our wives' opinions, because oftentimes they see things we do not. They consider things we do not. There are a few people in the world who are looking out for your best interest. Your wife is at the top of the list. Confide in her. By doing so, you'll help knit your hearts together. Some of you probably know, I started a company in 2008 called White Stone. But before that, I was not very happy at my work, and I wanted to do something different. And I wanted to start my own thing. Well, my wife grew up with a father who was an air traffic controller for 30 odd years. There is no steadier job than working for the government for 30 years. So my wife has known nothing but stability, and then she met me. Poor woman. But what I wanted to do was something that wasn't stable. It was something that was very risky. And I knew that Lori Jo wasn't going to be able to do that with me if she wasn't in agreement. So I really prayed and asked the Lord, if you want me to do this, then Lori Jo has to be 100% on board. 100%. And it took months, honestly. Not badgering or anything, it just took a while until we had a discussion, and she said, you know what, let's do this. Let's do this. And I knew that we were ready and that she would support me. Whether we succeed or fail, she would be there. And I would never have done it. I would recommend that if you are wife needs to be on board 100%. We as men need to understand that we do not deal with stress in the same way as our wives. When we are under stress, we will typically go quiet. Anybody else do that as a man? You get stressed and you just kind of go into your thing? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. Most wives, on the other hand, need to talk about the situation. Just the ability to talk through something helps them to deal with issues. However, to have communication, there must be a sender and receiver. We as men need to... to our wives. Looking at your watch while she's talking is not listening. Reading something while she's talking is not listening. Make eye contact and participate in the conversation. However, do not offer unsolicited solutions. I am so bad at this. And I'm really trying not to talk about a certain video that I showed Steve Weisbecker this past week, and I'm not. But don't offer unsolicited solutions to your wife. She does not want to hear your solution. If she does, she will ask you for it. If she wants you to fix it, she'll ask you. Right now, she just wants you to listen. See? Listen to her. We don't express our emotions the same way. For the most part, women are more emotional than men. Maybe that has to do with the fact that we were made from dirt and they were from flesh and bone. I don't know. But here is something to think about. That flesh and bone that first woman was made from, guess where it came from? From man. We have the ability to express emotions, but in most cases we choose not to because we are influenced by the world, I suppose. Because we think that showing emotions is somehow weakness. If that were the case, then how do you explain the Lord Jesus himself weeping at Lazarus's grave? Or many times that King David wept in public, or Ezra, or the Apostle Paul, or so on and so forth. And it is not tears only, but also showing great joy. I think of my own father. Rarely laughed. I could maybe count on several fingers the times when my father laughed. But on those few occasions when he could not control himself and really laugh, man, it's like the whole room was full of joy. Beloved, I think sometimes we let the weight of the world get to us so far down that we forget what real joy feels like. So don't be afraid to express your emotions with your wife. After all, you are there for each other. That verse goes on and says, give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Men, we need to treat our wives as the precious creation that they are. We need to value who they are as a person. We need to value their love, their opinions, their efforts, their work, their highs, their lows, because our wives are the weaker vessel. The Lord made the woman the weaker vessel so that men could provide for and protect them, just as the Lord does the church. Since I know we like visuals, I have a visual here for you. We have this mug right there. This would represent, can y'all see that? There's pretty flowers right there. Represents the man. And then we have the woman. She's special. If I drop this, I am one dead man. And there, take this. And then we have this precious little thing. Oops. man, woman. So look at these two cups. One is made of clay and hard, fired in a furnace. It's a good cup. It is very durable and can handle a lot of abuse. It's not great to look at, but it provides a service. The other cup is fine china. It was beautifully crafted and decorated with artistry and fine colors. You got to really look at this later. It's beautiful. It's wonderful to behold, and it also provides a service. Of the two, which would you say was the weaker vessel? I'm going to ask our new college intern. Which one do you think is the... You're pointing to this one. Pensacola. Right there. The fine china is, of course, it needs to be protected and provided a special place so it can be seen by all. I see a husband and a wife like this, and though the wife may be weaker, she has a beauty all her own and needs to be honored and valued by her husband. You know where the safe place for this would be? Inside here. They're being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That finishes that verse. 1 Peter 3:7 says, or gives us two reasons why we need to cherish our wives. The first is because we are heirs together of the grace of life. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The relationship that we enjoy now as husband and wife will one day change. You can read about it in Matthew 22, verses 23 through 30, and Luke 20, 27 through 36. Married nor given in marriage, but will be like the angels. We will not be angels, but we will exist like they do. Now, I know that this frightens some of you. But honestly, do you think that God would ever change anything for the worse? Of course not. But because this relationship was meant to be a beautiful picture of Christ and His church, when we as His church, His body, are present in heaven with the glorified Christ Himself, the picture is no longer needed. One thing you can count on, God will always do the right thing. You guys ever thought about that? The second reason we need to cherish our wives is so that our prayers are not hindered. We are not really told what this is, this hindering, or what it consists of, but it does not sound good to me. And it really only makes sense if you are angry with the one that God has given you to love. How can we expect God to do the things we ask in prayer? The second part of our theme verse today says, and be not bitter against them. This breaks my heart that the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, had to write this reminder to men. I think we can become bitter so easily. But isn't it it's a shame that with that verse, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them? The reason could be that we are looking to blame someone else for our own misconduct. Just like in the Garden of Eden, where fingers were pointed and blame was deflected. It makes me wonder if years after Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, again, this little holy imagination here, if there was bitterness in the heart of Adam Did he blame Eve for what happened? Or did he blame himself for being there or being strong enough to protect her from deception? I don't know. It's just a thought. But what do we know? But what we do know is that we have to guard our hearts against bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 talks about a root of bitterness that can spring up and trouble us. If you have ever done any gardening, you know that roots are hard to get rid of. They are buried deep and can spring up at any moment. We must root bitterness out of our lives, especially against our wives. Why? Because they're the weaker vessel. Bitterness in the heart is very destructive. It destroys those who let it grow. And it destroys everything and everyone around it. It's like taking small amounts of strychnine and expecting the other person to die. Men, do not let bitterness into our hearts. Communicate with your wife and let bitterness be replaced by love. Some of you may say, sounds easy, Steve, but in reality, it is very difficult. You may be right, but let me just remind us all about something. God saved us from a lost eternity in hell. The Lord Jesus took all our sins into his own body on the tree. And there he suffered and died and was then buried in a borrowed tomb. He then rose triumphantly from the grave so that we could have eternal life with the Father. We've been made joint heirs with Christ, meaning that everything that Christ will inherit, we shall also inherit. We have been made a kingdom of priests to our God. In the millennial kingdom, we will rule and reign with Christ. We have been granted to sit with the Lord Jesus in his throne. And we'll live with him forever and ever. Now that is difficult. Loving your wife is not difficult in comparison. And all this is because at a moment in time, we bowed the knee and said, yes, Lord, I believe. And when we did that, all those things I read came into play. Amen. If the Lord Jesus did all this for us, is it so hard to shower our wives with love and affection and asking nothing in return? Marriage is not an if-then relationship. You know what I mean when I say that? If-then. If you do this, then I'll do this. If you submit to me, then I'll love you. No. Marriage is not an if-then relationship. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you respect me, then I'll love you. No, it does not work that way. What came first? God's love for us or our obedience to him? God's love is not predicated on our response to it. He lavishes us with his love. Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Beloved, let us follow the Lord's example in so loving our wives. We have such a limited time here on earth. We saw through Linda's passing that we don't know our next breath. This life is the only time that we have to show the Lord that we love Him. Do you realize that? This is it. That's why the trial of your faith is so much more precious than gold that perishes. This life, right now that you have, it's the only time that you have. Because in eternity, you're going to have a mind like Christ. You're going to have a perfect body. You're going to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can either choose to love God or you cannot. And when you choose, oh, what joy in heaven because you chose. Can we say the same thing, men, for loving your wife? You don't have to. You can be bitter. But when you choose to love her and lavish your love upon her, how glorious is that? Because you don't really have to, but you do it because you want to, because you love her, and you want to love her like Christ loves the church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that He is our ultimate example on how to love one another. And as men, how to love our wives. Father, give us wisdom where this is concerned. May you take away the things that hinder us, whether that was how we were raised or where we were raised, it doesn't matter. Father, help us to love our wives, to be an example to others. Help our children to see what real love looks like. Help us to submit to one another in the fear of God. And Father, when we love, may we do it with the mind of nothing in return. Oh, Father, what an honor you have given us to be called a husband or a wife. Lord, help us to do these things that you've not only asked, you've commanded. Father, we can only do these things through your Spirit. We pray that you would help us to submit to your Spirit so that we can bring you all glory and all honor and all praise. Father, we just give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.